Like many from the upper Midwest, Wisconsinites pride themselves on being hardy, resilient, and independent. Always willing to offer a helping hand, but really reluctant to burden another with their own needs. That's the mindset that makes conversations about asking for help difficult, especially when the cry for help is rooted in suicide. On average, somebody dies by suicide every 9 hours in Wisconsin. So next week, the Assembly will be voting on a package of bills aimed at curbing the suicide crisis. Today, I sit down with Representative Joan Ballweg, Chairwoman of the Speaker's Task Force on Suicide Prevention, to talk about her work on preventing suicide in Wisconsin.
Today, Representative Joan Ballweg joins Majority Leader Jim Steinecke to discuss her work on the Speaker's Task Force on Suicide Prevention and how we can curb this deadly epidemic.
So, Joan, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about this very important topic.
Absolutely. I mean, this is something that I know is a priority of Assembly Republicans. Wondering specifically, how did you come about this issue? What kind of drove you to get involved in this?
Well, 2 years ago, actually, I was attending a conference for the Council of State Governments and was invited by Mental Health America to talk about the strides that we had been taking in Wisconsin around mental health, the investments that we had been making. And at that presentation, there was also a gentleman, a state representative from Utah, that talked about the work that he had done around suicide, in that Utah was had very high rates of suicide. So I came back to Wisconsin and thought, we ought to take a look and see what is really happening here. So giving some of the information that he did in Utah, comparing that and working with Mental Health America, talking with our agencies here in Wisconsin, what were we lacking and what could we improve on? And that's how that investigation started about 2 years ago. And I'm just really appreciative that the speaker saw fit to endorse this research through the Speaker's Task Force that he endorsed last March.
Sure. I was as well. And I talked to the speaker a little bit about this when he first introduced this topic, because I have a personal connection to this up in my district, where in part of my district, there was just not too long ago, a rash of suicides amongst high school kids and actually staff at the high school. So this became an incredibly big issue in our community, and one that I know has challenged everybody from the school district personnel to local units of government to just every single family in that community having to have these difficult conversations. And the more information they have, the more help they can get is appreciated. So when the speaker announced this task force, like you said he did, how did you go about organizing it? What were kind of your goals in putting that together?
Well, we were taking a look at where were the most vulnerable areas. Who were the folks that were attempting and taking their lives by suicide? And what we found, and I think what we've heard in the news media, many times it's veterans at a much higher rate than the general population, youth being the second highest rate of death among youth. What could we do in that area? And then for occupations, farming, and farmers, ranchers, lumbermen, farmers here in Wisconsin are taking their lives at a higher rate also. So out of our 6 task force meetings, we did some investigation on what the statistics were, but we did focus very much on those 3 areas: veterans, law enforcement, and first responders, which also has a higher rate, farmers, and youth.
Okay, so I think one of the challenges that we all have when we're talking about matters that are sensitive like this is, how do you approach it with people when you have some concerns about an individual that you know, you think that they might be vulnerable? How do you go about talking this? Is there specific language that you use or specific language that you don't use when you're talking about this issue?
Well, absolutely. And that's some of the things that we wanted to highlight in talking about suicide in general. First off, we noticed and we were told many times that people are afraid of asking someone if they're thinking about harming themselves. Many times our tradition has been to put that kind of under the carpet if someone has taken their life by suicide. And so we want to make sure that people have the confidence in understanding that suicide is preventable and that they have the strength to be able to answer the ask those tough questions and start learning what the cues are for someone who may be thinking of this. When we talk about the language specifically, we don't want to try to glamorize what happens. We want to talk honestly about it. So we talk about making sure that we ask people real questions about did they make an attempt on their life, or is there something that they're thinking of doing and harming themselves? And if there is a situation, a friend or family member or someone from the community, you talk about if they died by suicide and understand what some of the cues are. Many times, this came up in our conversations in our task force meetings. Many times people will look back and then realize, yes, there was a cue, there was some kind of situation going on where I wish I would have asked the question. And in that way, reaching out to help someone to make sure that they either needed another friend or they needed treatment or where could they go to get help. And that's why we're pushing these hotlines and texting lines and resources for people to help not just the person who is perhaps thinking of this, but someone that could help them through that problem.
Absolutely. And I think you're exactly right. The awareness is especially important, being able to recognize the signs of somebody that might be in distress, somebody that might be vulnerable to thinking about taking these actions. I think that's incredibly important. So in your conversations, did you guys look at other states and what they're doing? And are you kind of piggybacking off of some of the stuff that you found in that research?
Well, we definitely looked at other states. And in our first meeting, actually, we invited the director of the Nevada Office of Suicide Prevention to come to talk to us. They had been working in this space with a dedicated leader for some time now because they were a state that had very high numbers of suicides in their state. And through the work that's been done through the office and some investment that the state of Nevada has made, they actually in 2017 were the only state in the nation to see a decrease in the rate of suicide. Yeah. Wisconsin over the last 15 years or so has seen about a 35% increase.
Wow.
In the rate of suicide. So we thought that was a good model for us to take a look at and see if we should pattern some of the things that we could maybe be proactive about.
So Joan, one of the things that's been in the news quite a bit lately is issues surrounding gun violence. And I know the administration has come out with some ideas on how to combat that. In talking to you, I know you feel like this package of legislation gets it directly at some of the major issues surrounding deaths by gun. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, one of the individual bills talks about a grant program that works with a national movement that's called the Gun Shop Project. And what the Gun Shop Project would do is train owners and sales clerks at individual gun shops in what the cues are for someone who may indicate that they're looking at harming themselves or others. Thing I'd like to point out that there is federal legislation that says people don't have to sell a gun to someone, so they're not in danger of any kind of violation when it comes to that. But enabling someone to actually take a listen carefully to the cues of why someone may be purchasing that weapon. The owner of one of our local gun shops actually is the biggest advocate when it comes to this, testified both on the bill earlier this week and at the at our task force meeting, because they had a situation where an individual who purchased a gun from their shop did later use that weapon to take their own lives. So they are very sensitive to taking that responsibility of of a local gun shop owner for someone who is using this for hunting and recreation and not use a weapon in the wrong way. I think the biggest thing that we've added in Wisconsin to the gun shop project is a grant opportunity so those individual gun shops can have specific gun safes. So an individual can come in voluntarily to have their guns, their weapons put away on a voluntary basis and held until they've passed their crisis. There are, of course, a lot of details as how this all works, but I think then a very real way, individuals can already take weapons to be held at their local law enforcement. But people may not want to go to the local police department or sheriff's department. So this is a way that you can voluntarily, with no questions asked, put these weapons in a safe place so that they're out of the way for you to potentially harm yourself.
And that sounds great, and I think it's one of the ways that Assembly Republicans are looking to make sure that anything that we do in response to gun violence here in the state or across the country, we make sure that we are protecting people's individual rights, number one, but also getting at the root causes of the issues and things that we can do to assist those people that are in need of that assistance. So I think this is a great step in the right direction. So where do you go to really dig into this topic as a state to see who the people are that are attempting suicide? You know, what are the issues surrounding them? How we can best help? Where do you go for that information?
Well, we went to some of the national organizations, Mental Health America, Prevent Suicide America. Those kinds of organizations have data. But we also heard a lot in Wisconsin about we are actually lacking a lot of data, generally because we don't have uniform ways of collecting some of that death information. We have Winnebago County, for one, is doing a pilot program to try to standardize some of that language. That's one of the things that we thought we would probably take a look at in the future, because these proposals that we're taking to the floor next week is probably just the beginning of things that we could do and accomplish in reducing the rates of suicide. There's more that we'd like to see done.
Okay, so if you're John Q. citizen and you're sitting at home and you're listening to this podcast, are there certain things that they can do as individuals to help be more aware of people that might be in this vulnerable state?
So they can first, realize that there is an 800 number, there's texting numbers, there are local help numbers that you can use yourself to get the tips of how you can help someone. Online, there is information also. If you want to get really involved, most of our local health departments and many of our sheriff's departments sponsor annual suicide walks and volunteer programs. I've talked to many people that now are participating in those kinds of things to be able to, if they were a survivor, a family survivor, or if they did attempt and now are have survived that attempt, that they reach out as peers to be able to help people get past that stage and get to a point where they can be fully functional and get beyond that suicidal ideation.
So, as I mentioned earlier, the Assembly is going to be voting on this package of bills coming up. How important do you feel this package is to moving the conversation forward? How important is it to get it through both the Assembly and Senate and onto the governor's desk?
Well, very important as a package, because it actually came up in some of the testimony where individual legislators would say that I don't see how this particular piece is going to be impactful. But as a package, it is addressing those three vulnerable areas that we've talked about. And the overarching, or the linchpin, as it's been called, is a director of suicide prevention, a couple of staff positions in our Department of Health Services. Now, our Department of Health Services is tasked with collecting of data, has some few grant opportunities, just as our schools have some grant opportunities around mental health. But we saw that all of these agencies were very siloed in what they were doing. Some of the national and local organizations are doing things in their own way. They aren't aware of what the resources are that are even available now. They're going through the process and end up reinventing the wheel kind of bit. So what we're hoping that this suicide prevention director is going to be able to do is to bring through their expertise resources that can go out to all our communities and regions that maybe will be able to take advantage of some of our grant opportunities and try to connect the dots on what is actually happening. So in a particular county that wants to focus on maybe suicide prevention through their local tavern league, we'll know that that's already been done in other areas of the state, and they can tag on to the resources that they've already produced, things like that.
Great. Well, I want to specifically thank you and the committee for all the work that you've done on this issue on the Speaker's Task Force on Suicide Prevention. It's a topic that I know is difficult to talk about. I think the work that you're doing and the bills that will pass in the Assembly are a very important first step towards having a better strategy as a state to helping combat this pretty serious issue. So thank you again, and thanks to everyone who's took the time to listen to us right here on The Right Angle.
And that's The Right Angle on suicide prevention. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe. Just search for The Right Angle on iTunes and Google Play, Radio Public, Breaker, Overcast, and Pocket Casts. Have an idea for a guest or a topic? Tweet us at Wisconsin Assembly GOP. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.